Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne's live in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gabe. And gentlemen, despite my endeavors to get a Game 7, both monetarily and for information, the Warriors were just too much for the Celtics.
Boy, they were good last night, weren't they?
Yeah,
my God.
They were good.
Only the second time the visiting team has come in to Boston and won an NBA championship. All those championship seasons, those great Boston teams, Rich. That parquet floor is a hard place for visiting teams to win. But, boy, Golden State looked good last night.
Yeah, it tends to be hallowed ground there for sure. And once again, the turnover bug, just too much for Boston.
22 was the final? 22 turnovers?
I don't think it's... It's a little defensive effort. I don't think the Celtics are just tossing the ball around like Michigan State tends to do. They were put in positions that they just had no way of getting out of. And players panic. You know, we talked about this in high school when Grayling went up north to play basketball in the quarterfinals and just were relentlessly pressured into problems. And it can happen on the professional level, and that's what happened. It wasn't the Celtics just playing stupid basketball. They didn't know what to do, the same thing was happening, Rich, over and over and over again, game to game to game.
Right.
And even Adoku or whatever the coach's name is in the press conference afterwards, he said, "We just couldn't, even watching the film and everything else." Had no way of combating what they were doing to us. That's a problem in professional sports.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know, Boston, we talk about their great defense, but they were, in the second half of the season, they were the best offensive team in the NBA. And they were completely shut down from the end of Game 4 when Steph Curry just took that series over. Game 5, Game 6, it was men against boys.
Because when you talk Golden State Warriors, you always think offense, 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 you know. But... You know, and look at the increased defensive pressure by Steph Curry, how he's improved through the years.
Well, the number one defensive team in the NBA this year, statistically, was the Celtics. Number two was the Warriors.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jason Tatum was supposed to be, you know, their point forward or whatever, but obviously he was unaccustomed to a role in that defense. I was talking to Nick at halftime yesterday, my son, and because I bet the Celtics, I re-upped the bet when they went, they were plus 10.5 at halftime. I figured they would get back into the game. Mm-hmm. They did, but they didn't cover that spread. But they had taken on two other really good defensive basketball teams. Milwaukee's got a really good defense.
Yeah.
Miami, that's what their hallmark is defense.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that the Warriors are that much better of a defense than Milwaukee and Miami? I guess it's true.
Yeah, exactly, because you look at, like you said, the teams that Boston went through, and that's an impressive teams, and the players along, you know, New Jersey and this, or Brooklyn.
Well, Brooklyn doesn't play any defense.
No, they have great players, and you're like, man, that, you know, anytime you beat Giannis and then you beat these guys, and that is just, it was highly impressive how Boston got to where they were at. That's why so many people picked them to win, because that was, you know, they were on such a roll.
Yeah, you know, I think a little bit Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and Tatum all hit the wall. They were played major minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And and under that pressure, we thought that Boston had the deeper bench, not even close. Everybody
great. Boston, what, 2 points off the bench, something like that, something ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if Horford started, then yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I didn't see the start of the game, but it's. I mean, I'd like to see the Boston Globe today. The first thing is get us a frickin' real point guard.
Oh yes, no question about it. That is the number one priority. I mean, because again, Marcus Smart is not a true point guard.
No.
I mean, there's just no way. I mean, he's a good player, a person you want on your team, but again, he's not a true point guard.
No.
and Jason Tatum, allegedly the best player, was taken to school in the series the last three games especially. Yeah. But you know what? I was listening to the Boston broadcast on the way back from fishing last night, listening to this game, and they made a good point. You know, Michael Jordan went through this against the Detroit Pistons as a young guy.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas went through it as a young guy against the Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum went through it last night against a team that has won now four championships in the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Well, they're rather young. I mean, Tatum and Brown are younger, and Marcus Smart is not that old, and they got a brand new coach who did a pretty damn good job. The problem is, the other thing that Nick and I were talking about at halftime is, I don't know if this is a good window for Boston, because Milwaukee, Chris Middleton makes all the difference. They don't lose that series if Middleton plays in it. Mm-hmm. Miami's going to get better. Philly, who know? I mean, there's just a lot of window. Hopefully, the Pistons are going to crash in here.
Yep.
The Bulls look fantastic until they got all their injuries, and the Cavaliers as well. The East is not going to be any bargain, and Boston probably missed a great opportunity here to win an NBA championship. They were a couple of plays away from being up 3-1 in the series, and they let that slip through their fingers. There's no way they should have lost Game 5 with Steph going 0-9, and and even Klay Thompson didn't have a fantastic game. They let Andrew Wiggins beat them.
You mean Maple Jordan? I heard that nickname
Maple
on the
Jordan,
Maple Jordan. Like that made me laugh when I heard that one.
Well, you know,
Wiggins from Canada.
Give the
Maple
Warriors
Jordan
credit. You know, that guy was the first pick in the draft by the Timberwolves, and he just never panned out there.
No, nope. Freakish athlete.
Yeah, and he looks a little awkward. I mean, his shot isn't so smooth, and everything else that he works. You know, his work ethic and being with the right franchise worked out. You know. That's the mark of a great franchise.
JC, you said it off the air. I want to hear you say it on the air. Draymond Green had a pretty good game last night.
I got nothing against Draymond. I love him. I mean, the guy works hard. He's not a great scorer. He does whatever he does. I just thought he had hit the wall.
Yeah, yeah. It looked that way early.
It really did.
Yep.
And Steve Kerr made a brilliant move by benching him, and you know, and then the spotlight was on Green, and next thing you know, he plays the way he's supposed to play. You know, I know people inside that the franchise, and I think he's on the last year of his deal, or he has one more, and you know, he was angling to get a front office job, not that he think, because he doesn't think that he's really the player that he was anymore, but he just happened to eke out two more great games.
Yeah, and it was good to see Tom Izzo there along with some of Draymond's teammates at that game. They seem to be having a good time up there in one of the boxes, and so maybe a little extra motivation for Draymond there.
He was two assists away from a triple-double.
Yeah. Yeah, he played absolutely great. Yep, for sure. He's just one of those glue guys that you hate playing against, but you want him on your team for
and
sure.
That skinny little guard out of Davidson is a pretty good player, isn't he?
Yes,
sure is. My God, you put him right up there in the pantheon of the greatest players in the NBA history, I think, right now.
Well, that's been the talk on
endlessly.
What does this mean for his legacy?
Oh.
Yeah, they have to create content.
He's a top 10 player in the NBA.
Yeah.
All time.
The greatest shooter of all time.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I mean, just in the modern age.
I had this discussion with Nick, and he told me I was crazy, but I said, well, I wouldn't discount Pete Maravich. You know, Maravich never had a team around him like Steph Curry has, not even close.
He never wanted a team around him. Give me the ball. I love Pete Maravich.
I'm sorry, but Pete Maravich was the most dazzling scorer that I've ever seen. And I, don't get me wrong, I think Curry and he are like right next to him. But I was asking Nick, how much have you seen? He goes, oh, you're crazy. I go, how much have you seen of Pete Maravich? You know, the greatest thing I've ever seen in basketball in my entire life, back in the 70s when the NBA first was on TV, they used to have this thing at halftime called Red on Round Ball. And he would have a superstar, an NBA superstar in the 70s, talk about things. They had Bob Lanier on and everything else, and he had Pete Maravich on doing these ball handling drills that were mind-blowing.
Oh, it was.
Absolutely freaking mind-blowing. Like, you look at him and go, I can't play basketball.
It jumped off the TV set. When he was dribbling and doing those things, you're like, oh, my God, that's almost inhuman.
I mean, he averaged 44 points a game in college without a three-point line.
Yeah.
And the math has already been done. He would have averaged 54 points a game.
Really?
If the three-point line had been there.
Oh,
then.
My Lord.
And on top of the fact, he was an amazing passer. I mean, he used to hit his teammates in the face with balls all the time because they had no clue the ball was coming at him.
And that was LSU, wasn't it?
I'm talking about when it the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, like the first, one of the first games was on TV, he just keep hitting Lou Hudson in the head as they're running down the court. He flips something behind the back pass. I'm not taking anything away from Steph Curry, but that's the only guy that I can even put in the where Steph Curry is. And unfortunately, Maravich, at the end, he was with the Celtics with, two huge knee braces on and everything.
Yeah.
He had a bad drinking problem.
He could drink you under the table.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. There's a compliment in there somewhere.
So you got that going for you, which is nice.
Hey, when I die...
Drink us all under the table, I should have said.
The first thing that I'm going to do is seek out Pete Maravich.
He was must-watch TV, though, when he played. And him in his floppy socks that people made a big deal of. But the things he could do with a basketball, JC, were more hard to fathom.
Way before his time.
But that's, Curry... is a fantastic ball handler on top of being a great scorer and a pretty damn good facilitator of the ball. Just a legacy, I don't care. Is he better than Magic Johnson? Who do you bring out of the top 10? It's kind of ridiculous crap.
Yeah, but it's fun to talk. It's Barstool talk, I guess.
It's sports talk. I don't know. People are talking about, Will Chamberlain's got to be out of the top 10. Are you out of your mind? But nobody was more dominant than Will. And maybe George Mikan. And Mikan's not in there. Well, it's too old now.
Right.
It's nutty talk. So good for them. And, they have the Warriors have a lot of influx of young players. The talk after this, on Scott Van Pelt's show was, how are they going to do this again? They had James Wiseman. And the other kid who was the third pick in the draft didn't even play. They're injured.
Can you believe we were having this conversation 2 years ago? I know they had a lot of injuries and a lot of mitigating circumstances. 2 years ago, they finished last in the NBA.
The exact same thing. The exact freaking thing happened San Antonio.
Yeah.
The Admiral went out.
Yep.
They get Tim Duncan
drafted.
And come back.
You're like, how in the world do these guys get drafted?
Yeah, this is very viable.
Yeah.
And the bigger legacy question for me, Rich, is where does this put Steve Kerr in the pantheon of NBA coaches?
There you go. He's got to be up there.
Nine rings.
Got to be up there, man.
Five as a player, four as a coach.
He's approaching Scotty Bowman territory.
And it's not like they had the overwhelming superstars like Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson,
right.
Jordan, and then Shaq and Kobe. Don't get me wrong. KD and Steph Curry, not so bad.
Right? No, yeah.
Two of those championships were with KD. The other ones were, just with Steph and Clay and Draymond.
Right.
And they should have at least one more because Draymond was suspended in that game against the Cavaliers. They were up 3-1 there. They were actually up 3-1 in the one they lost to Toronto, and Clay and Steph got hurt.
Wow.
So,
when you think about it that way, and
holy
everything,
we like to talk about the Pistons, and they could have had four, right?
Mm-hmm.
The year that they clunked heads, and then Isaiah threw the ball away. I don't know if that team would have beaten the Lakers, but they got screwed out of the first Laker championship by two phantom calls on Bill Laimbeer.
Yep.
So that should have been three championships in a row. So the Warriors are now, you know, right there with the Lakers and the Celtics as the premier NBA franchises of all time.
That's
Yeah,
right.
No question. And you brought up the Pistons. This time next week, we will know who the Pistons had drafted.
Yeah, you know, we haven't heard much. I haven't seen anything in the papers at all about that.
You got to go to some other websites to check out. Now, there's a guy, they're talking about a guy, this Dyson Daniels from the G League, who, again, I didn't know anything about or anything, so it's going to be fascinating.
Two different services I've seen think Jaden Ivey's the best player in the draft, period.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that as well.
If he drops out of the top three, they got to take
him. Yeah.
They've got to take him.
Yep.
I just don't want to see where he gets taken, and then we're looking at Chet
Holmgren. Yeah. No, I want to stay away from him, for sure.
Yeah.
I read two different places also that Shadon Sharpe guy that no one's seen play before, you know, he's a great mystery and all that. That kid has a 50-inch vertical leap. That's a 50? I've never heard of a 50.
Well, no, what's his name? He had a 54-inch vertical leap. Thompson.
David Thompson.
David Thompson did, yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. I mean, just...
Dr. Duncan.
When you're that high in the air, I mean, holy cow.
Well, he used to lead... That was the other thing about Maravich, when before he had bad knees. He was a great leaper, and David Thompson and Maravich would be so high up on their jump shots. If you ever saw the photographs, guys would be guarding them, and their waists were at their head.
Yeah, you know.
That was.
I mean, when your feet are 4 feet in the air plus, and you're, you know, talking about skywalkers, legitimately,
yeah, no doubt about it. You know, it's a nice athletic blessing to have in basketball when you can get up. You know, Rodman wasn't the tallest leaper, but what Rodman had was he could get up off the floor two or three times faster than anybody.
Exactly. He was a quick leaper.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic stuff. So the NBA season is over, so that means we will be transferring this next conversation to golf.
Right.
When we return here, there will be NHL talk. There will be Tiger talk because we are contractually obligated to discuss the Tigers and everything else here. And speaking of baseball, this baseball season, swing for the fences on FanDuel, Yankees. Right now, new customers get $200 free dollar bets guaranteed, Yankees. When you place your first $5 bet on the Yankees, just sign up with promo code WGRY to get in on the action. FanDuel lets you bet the money line, home run props, Aaron Judge, strikeout totals, and much, much more. Plus, you can combine your bets for even a bigger payday with same-game parlays.
Build out a same-game parlay like home run hitter, pitcher over strikeouts, player to get a hit. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot.
Just join with promo code WGRY and turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose. Exclusively on FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio, it's Friday Faceoff. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne is live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And, gentlemen, the U.S. Open is in day two from the country club in Brookline, and what a great first day leaderboard we had. It's going to look, maybe you're going to have one of these superstar shootouts that you don't get very often in the majors, although a young man named MJ Dofu, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, is 2-under already today, so he's leading the tournament at 5-under par.
Right, and Matthew Fitzpatrick, Rory McIlroy, nipping on his heels.
Yeah, well, McIlroy won't it tees off later this afternoon.
Right.
Along with Colin Morikawa and John Rahm. They were all in the morning wave yesterday. Mm-hmm. James Pyatt
played well.
Is one under par, the reigning U.S. amateur champion. So we'll see how he plays. Dustin Johnson won over today after 7. I bet on him yesterday. I just think it would be fascinating if Dustin Johnson won the U.S. Open after all the BS that's going on here.
Oh, could you
take the trophy and go, see ya.
Right. That's what I say. The trophy ceremony would have been priceless.
Yeah. So, well, it's not over yet.
Right. Couldn't happen.
I've got some golf bets on FanDuel, baby.
Do you think that the majors will ultimately ban those guys as well?
No.
I don't think so either.
No. It's all going to go to court.
Yeah.
I don't want
sure.
I agree. I'm with Brooke Koepka. Let's talk about the U.S. Open. I don't want to talk about LIV Tour right now. I try not to talk about it on Finding Fairways. Last week's show was all about the LIV Tour.
Right.
And, you know, I get the arguments, man. There's Brandel Chamblee was on Jim Rome last week and had an amazing discussion about his feelings on it. But, you know, people have to make decisions about their lives.
Sure.
You know, if Saudi Arabia is so horrible, why are we? We're funding the tournament, the tour. It's coming from petrodollars.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So, you know, I'm excited about the tournament. I love the golf course. This is the golf course that the last time we saw it, we had the greatest Ryder Cup comeback in history.
It's a very unique course.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of blind shots. It's a very cool when you see the camera behind the player hitting the ball, and you see nothing but a mound in front of you, or what. I mean, it's just so much so different than so many other courses.
Yeah, it's a little bit like Bethpage Black, but the only other golf course that's like it, except for Bethpage Black, is a much much longer golf course. So. Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. You'd think on face value, Rory McIlroy is the betting favorite now. Mm-hmm. He's plus 450 to win. He's been a great front runner in the majors. Yeah. However, he hasn't won a major since 2014, which is hard to believe because the guy's only 31 years old.
Right.
Yeah. So, we'll see where Justin Thomas comes in and some of these other majors, major players. John Rahm, who is the reigning U.S. Open champion, it's just going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and like you said, Dustin Johnson won over today so far, but he is one under, for the tournament. And you said Colin Morikawa, he'll go off at 103.
Same thing with Xander Schauffele, a great player. Justin Thomas is one over today after 10 holes. That's kind of disappointing. However, this golf course is going to get harder. The greens are going to dry out more and more and more, and these greens are ridiculously difficult. They make Oakland Hills look pedestrian.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
If they get any of the winds that we had here in northern Michigan yesterday, that'll be something today.
Well,
to watch.
Yeah, go ahead.
JC, how do you bet these tournaments, like the U.S. Open? Give us some tips on how to
bet
this thing.
Well, some of the bets I've made you can't make now, which is pre-tournament, finishing in the top 5, top 10. You're just guessing on form.
Yep.
And, you can't even really, when it comes to majors, you can't even say, well, this guy's performed well on this golf course. Hardly any. Phil Mickelson is the only guy in this tournament that's played this golf course under tournament conditions other than Matthew Fitzpatrick and some of the amateurs because they had the U.S. amateur there a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I bet Fitzpatrick to finish in the top 10. Looks like a pretty good bet.
So far, so good.
Yeah. So now it's not a guessing game, but you can bet on winners.
Mm-hmm.
You can bet on winners all the way up to the last 4 or 5 holes on Sunday.
Wow.
So, if you're going to be sitting on the couch and you're watching your leaderboards and you try to figure out who looks like they're going to make an interesting turn. And the best thing about the golf bets, Keith, are like I've got $3 on some of these guys, and the returns would be $72.
Right. So now, Rory McIlroy was the favorite going in, according to FanDuel. He was +1,000. Now he's down to +450.
Yeah.
After one day,
mm-hmm.
it'll keep going down as long as he stays in the top five or six.
Well, I don't know. It depends where, how far out he is.
Correct,
you know, assuming. We'll see what Rory
does.
It changes
minute by minute.
Yeah, it does change minute by minute, and that's why I it's fun to bet.
Yeah.
because, you know, golf is a little quiet, and, you know, it's not like the NHL where everything's just scrambling around, and you can't really go, well, gee, I wonder who's going to win the next goal. Go ahead, give that a shot.
Yeah.
But, it's, you know, I love the whole tradition of Father's Day, U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
this
was, you know, when my parents lived at Oakland Hills, my brothers and I would go on Sunday, have the TV on, Coney dogs, corn on the cob, and beer, and watch the tournament. I mean, that happened for, you know, 15, 16 years.
Wow. Very cool.
Or the other tradition of dad taking his kids out to play on Father's Day. What is it? My mom. Why don't you take the boys out and play? Are you out of your mind? And I was talking to JT from Gaylord Golf Club, and I go, that's my favorite thing. It's like, okay, I'm going to take the golf kids out to play. Six holes later, I'm out of here. You know, some dads are, you know, good on the golf course with their kids. Yeah, but I have seen the opposite.
You
many,
need a lot of patience.
What the hell are you doing?
And how are you with your boys?
Nick, I taught Nick the game a little bit when he was young, and then he got out of it for a while, and then when we went to Ireland for my 50th birthday, I kind of dragged him on, like, I'm playing golf, you're coming with me. It's as simple as that.
Right.
And he had a fabulous time, and he's back
nice.
Totally with the golf bug.
Good.
Joe, not so much.
Mm. Yeah.
Madeline, I tried to teach the game, and she should have played because she's
Ooh,
a hockey player, right?
She hit the ball
sure.
Well.
Yeah, and now she's in business, and I'm like, well, if you want me to start giving you tips on how to play, I'm happy to do it. She's going to be up here at Houghton Lake for a week, so
nice.
Maybe we'll. I know Nick and I will play. Mm-hmm. We don't get the opportunity to play golf very much, and he's at that age right now. He's got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. That's tough on your golf game.
You bet. It is.
It wasn't on mine. I'll tell you this story right now. I've never told this on the air before, but in my first marriage, I played a decent amount of golf on scholarship. Like, I knew a lot of guys that belonged to country clubs and everything else. So, generally speaking, when somebody invites you to play Detroit Golf Club or Oakland Hills or anything else, I'm out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Even though my ex and I had young kids. But she was a stay-at-home mom. That's the way we worked things out. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go play golf. And one time I was going to play. I didn't tell her. My buddy Bob shows up in the driveway, and Martha's, what the hell is Ware doing here?
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. We're going to play DGC. And she just starts MFing me. And all the windows of the house are open and everything else. So I get to the car, and both my friends, Dick Maslati and Bob Ware, look like, holy God. I'm like, hey, guys, how's it going?
Oh.
Hey, let's get out of here.
Can we go?
Let's get out of here quick.
So there you go. That's
the drop thing. The other shoe. What was it like when you got back?
Right.
Well, I came home and made a delicious dinner.
There you go.
There we go.
The olive branch was offered.
The meal was eaten in silence.
Yeah. But it was good.
So enjoy your Father's Day and get out and play golf or watch golf. And it's a great time to play golf because this weekend, a lot of times golf courses aren't nearly as busy. So, you know, if you have – there's been a lot of play in the area. It's not like I used to love living up here because I could just roll onto golf courses whenever you wanted. With the boom back in golf because of COVID, that's not the case.
Right.
But especially Sunday is a good time to play.
Yeah.
And, we, you know, and it stays laid out. I mean, you can go to the U.S.
Yeah.
Open. Will be over at 6:16. You can go out and
play
get 18.
That's right.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. When we return here on Friday Faceoff, we will discuss the NHL Stanley Cup Game 2 coming up on Saturday night. I'm sure Keith has got some insight on how to bet that. So we'll be back after these messages from our fine partners on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. I got a niece and a nephew at Clemson.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gabridge Calkins, and quite a great start to the Stanley Cup this year, Keith.
Yeah, JC, it was, as advertised, two really great teams, maybe the most anticipated Stanley Cup final in many, many years. I have a hard time thinking back to this much excitement when the finals came around between the two best teams in the NHL. The two teams that Vegas predicted would be here in the end are playing one another. And, you know, we thought Colorado would show a little bit of rust after being off for a long time. Boom, two quick goals. It's 2-0. 3-1 after one period. And then we saw Tampa's championship DNA, 3-3 in overtime. Real quick end.
I kind of like Tampa Bay to win the series now, plus 230.
I'll take Tampa. I'm still on that bandwagon. Listen, since John Cooper's been the coach there, they've played 24 series, Rich. 24 playoff series. They've lost the first game of the series 14 times. 14 times. In the last 13 games that they or series they played, they've won 9 of those 13 after losing the first game.
Well, that's crazy. As we pointed out, you know, they're a pretty big underdog to win the Stanley Cup right now. So plus 230 is probably the best you're going to get.
I'll take them.
Especially if they end up winning Game 2. They're a sizable underdog in Game 2.
Yep.
The Avalanche are minus 154.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And one thing about Tampa Bay, too, once they win one game, they just don't win one. They get on a roll, and they win two, and then they can win three. And it's just like, so you just like, it's a juggernaut that just once it gets rolling, they're tough to beat.
They find ways to adjust.
Yeah.
I think they know now what Colorado's going to throw at them. Again, mentioned Cooper, their coach, pretty good coach. They're going to make some adjustments. I think Vasilevsky will be braced.
Those first couple of goals were pretty for him.
I just think they're going to play a lot better. And
well, we'll see.
We will see.
The one thing that you and I were talking about a couple days ago when I had to do Game On Update is the Avalanche do have a speed advantage across the board on Tampa Bay. You know, Tampa had not given up any two-on-ones or three-on-twos They gave up a number of them in that game.
Yep.
And we'll see if that was just them adjusting to the – I mean, they only played each other, what, twice all year long. So, But this is a veteran Tampa Bay team, and you can have all the experience in the world – but speed kills in hockey.
Yeah, no question about it. But, you know, Tampa knows how to play some defense. They know how to defend top lines. Nathan MacKinnon, their best player by far in Colorado, they kept a lid on him pretty much, that Killorn line against all the best lines that Tampa's played so far. Has did a really good job in the first game. The player to watch, he didn't explode in the first game like I thought he would, but Cale Makar, the defenseman, talk about speed, edge work. Watch this guy skate.
He's a beautiful skater.
Both ends of the ice. I think he's the best player in the world. And if Colorado wins, he'll probably win the Conn Smythe Trophy as the MVP.
Well, he certainly has come to the forefront.
Oh, my Lord.
This year,
He's good.
Yeah, he's for hockey, he's becoming a household name for sure. I mean,
deservedly so.
No hockey.
The way he played against Connor McDavid in Edmonton in the last series was really impressive.
That's really impressive. That's a tough defense.
Because McDavid is really good.
Yeah, there's no doubt about
it. Pretty good finals series.
Yeah, I mean, there's Tampa Bay's got plenty of superstars to go around.
Oh, yes.
So it that's why I like them at plus 230 to win the series. We'll find out what Colorado is made of. Look at, you know, Colorado is right now is in historic territory. They are 13-2 in the playoffs this year. Mm-hmm. Every other team that entered the finals with only two losses has won the Stanley Cup.
Negative. That's wrong. That's wrong. Detroit in 1996.
Well, then the research department of ESPN is wrong.
Detroit in 1995 was 12-2 going into the Stanley Cup finals against New Jersey. What happened? They lost 4-3. But they were 12-2 going in.
There you go.
Wow.
You stand corrected.
So
yeah.
ESPN made a little mistake there. ESPN does a lot of good work, but they were wrong there.
Okay.
As long as we're talking about the NHL, JC, the Red Wings are still looking for a coach. I got no leads on that, but the dominoes are starting to fall.
Cassidy didn't stick around long on the open market.
Neither did Tortorella.
Tortorella. Cassidy went to the Vegas Golden Knights, sixth coach in whatever.
How many years?
So
yeah.
Just a few years. But Tortorella in Philadelphia is going to pass the popcorn, please. This is going to be fun to watch. One of the most outspoken, blunt, tough-talking coaches
with that fan base.
That fan base and the Philadelphia media.
It's great.
Oh, it's going to be fun to watch.
That's entertainment for sure.
But Detroit, I don't know. JC, did you mention last week? Are they waiting, or was it you, Rich, that mentioned? Are they waiting for Tampa season to end so they can hire the assistant coach there, Derek Lalonde, I think his name is. Maybe. I don't know. I got no insight. But
that would make the most sense to me, given what's going on now.
It would. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah.
He fits the profile for Yzerman. Already understands what Yzerman wants from the bench.
Yep.
If I had to bet on that, that's what I'd be looking at.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too, absolutely.
Yeah.
And obviously the familiarity of, Yzerman with him. Right. Was he an assistant coach when Yzerman was still the GM?
Yzerman hired him, yeah.
He did, okay.
Actually, John Cooper hired him. Yzerman signed off on
him. Okay.
But they worked together a year. He knows him. And he fits the profile of a guy that you'd think Steve Yzerman would hire.
Yeah, it's... that's been out there. I mean, how many other jobs are left open in the NHL?
There were eight, so the six.
Oh, okay.
Still a lot more.
Yeah.
All right. When we return here on Friday Faceoff, we are contractually obligated to discuss the Detroit Tigers as we have them here on Up North Sports Radio. They are favored to win tonight, guys, and we will talk about the Tigers and what's going on there. As the baseball season continues to march on into the dog days of summer, swing for the fences on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in free bets guaranteed. When you place your first $5 bet, just sign up with promo code WGRY to get in on the action. FanDuel lets you bet the money line. Home run props, strikeout totals, and so much more. Plus, you can combine your bets with an either bigger payday with same-game parlay. Like, you can bet tonight Tarek Skubal over and under on strikeouts and if Miggy gets a hit. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now's the perfect time to give it a shot.
Now's the perfect time to give it a shot. Just like you said, JC, just join with promo code WGRY and turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose.
Exclusively on FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and over and present in the state of Michigan. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio, Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And guys, the loss last night the Tigers took was particularly difficult to watch. I don't have many squabbles with A.J. Hinch, but after he got hit with the ball in the leg, I would have pulled
Soto.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to say that after you watched what happened, but, he hit the next batter.
Yeah.
And that was the death knell.
Yeah, JC, I disagree with you a little bit. I think the Tigers were great to watch last night for eight innings. That was a really impressive performance, especially considering the night before when they used three three position players as pitchers in a 13-0 loss, and then held a 30-minute players-only meeting to sort things out. Looked like they had things sorted out. Certainly Bo Brisky did. Seven innings, no runs, three hits. Where were the bats? Is right. But after that 13-0 loss, the announced crowd, 17,448 fans at Comerica Park, saw a pretty good game for eight innings.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, unfortunately, the Tigers have been shut out nine times already this year through 62 games.
Yeah.
And that's the same amount they were shut out for the entire season last year. I mean, do you start looking at hitting coaches? Do you start looking at, this is rampant through the entire organization. It isn't like a couple, the big guys.
Lynn Henning had an amazing article on the Detroit News today about how we have gotten to this point. And basically blaming the Tigers for continuing to draft pitcher after pitcher after pitcher after pitcher after pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we ended up with Javi Baez.
Yep.
Because we didn't have a shortstop in the organization.
They had one. They had a good one. Jose Iglesias. Couldn't afford him at $6 million a year.
Well, they also traded Willie Adames, who is having a pretty good career in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And he was one of those kids that you noticed in the minor leagues going, this kid's going to be the real deal. And he is for someone else.
Yeah. It's been helpful to have all these arms when you got guys going in and out of Tommy John surgery and everything else. I don't know when Riley Green's going to come back. I sent you that article last week, Keith, about how well he's playing down there.
Yep.
I don't know. If you're worried about him re-injuring himself, why is he in Toledo instead of up here? So obviously, these guys are a lot smarter than I am.
I don't know about that.
I'm surprised. Yeah, the hitting coach is going. I mean, unless they're worried about Federer's leaving, and you don't want to have a whole bunch of coaches walking out the door at the same time. That's my only guess.
That's the thing with the Michigan coaching opening, and Federer is going to be highly sought after for sure to take over that program.
Keith and I think you should stay. I mean, pitching coaches can make Roger Craig was as important to the Tigers in 1984
absolutely.
As Sparky was.
Yes. Yes.
And then went on to become a Hall of Fame manager himself, won a World Series for the Giants.
Correct.
So I don't know. But they're in this article, you got to read it, Keith. It's really well lengthy and goes into a lot of different things. Talking about A.J. Hinch going back to the Astros.
Yeah.
Dusty Baker is 73 years old, and I have no doubt that the Astros would welcome A.J. Hinch back with open arms.
His family still lives there.
And if they're not careful with this team and everything else, we could be almost all the way back to square zero.
It's a frightening thought, isn't it?
It is.
It's a frightening thought.
Considering how much I love the Tigers,
I've been Mr. Optimistic this whole season, and it's getting harder and harder and harder to be that optimistic about this team. It's very, very, very frustrating. You see all the money they spent on that shortstop who's doing nothing for them. They spent a lot of money on a pitcher who put himself into long-term IR for personal reasons. Eduardo Rodriguez, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is maddening.
It is.
Maddening. I'm glad I'm not a season ticket holder.
Oh, because, again, the season started with so much promise, and we were so excited with the young kids coming up and the additions of the free agents. Everything was just looking so good. And then, late in spring training when Riley Green took that foul ball off his foot and it's just like all of a sudden things started piling up, man, and the dominoes are starting to fall, and it's right now it's not pretty.
Yeah, it's, on paper, everything looked to be in place, but they don't play the games on paper. And, sure, they've had a lot of injuries, and we talked about Baez. It was hitting the ball pretty good until he went down for 10 days, and he hasn't been the same ever since. And no, there's no doubt that he's feeling pressure now.
Right. For sure.
Right.
And Torkelson is definitely feeling the pressure as a hitter. So, I don't know if they won't. What sense would it make right now for them to trade one of the pitchers for an experienced bat? You know, you're sitting with literally almost no chance to go to the playoffs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But do you need to bring in a player to appease the fans and stabilize a hitting order? You know, or why isn't Riley Green here? Yeah. I don't understand. I don't sit in an office every day and analyze players and look at scouting reports and all the guys that are playing in AA and AAA. I mean, you know, Cody Clemens, one hit in, you know, 38 at-bats, or two hits, excuse me.
Yeah, two hits.
Yeah.
I think you could appease the fan base by firing the general manager. He put this show together, and it's for a variety of reasons, it ain't working. And everybody's screaming for his head. I'm not sure he's exactly to blame, but I think that would appease the fans a little bit.
But who in the organization, you know, who are you going to get?
That's always plan B. Then what? Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Chris Illich is making the rest of the decisions.
That's scary, too. Yeah, that's all scary. I get it. You know, the one thing I want to bring up, we'd all talk about the hitting, the lack of hitting, and so on, is obvious. I'm a little bit worried, as much as we talk about Chris Vetter and what a great job he's done with his staff, I'm a tiny bit worried about the serious injuries to young arms in this organization. Casey Mize this year, Spencer Turnbull last year. There's so much emphasis these days on spinning the baseball, all these metrics coming in. I don't know. It seems to me like that is really tough on young arms, and we're starting to see it, not just in Detroit, throughout baseball.
Well, it's not... I don't think it's Federer's dictate to be doing this. I mean, guys are undergoing Tommy John surgery all
everywhere.
Over baseball.
Yep.
And I mean, they had Mize on pitch restrictions, and these guys. It's not like old Billy Martin at Oakland A's and running these guys out and pitching nine innings.
Certainly did not appear to be reckless with them at all.
No. Spin rate of baseball. I have no idea. You know, you were friends with
Larry Sorensen.
Larry Sorensen,
he's with StatCast or whatever.
Yeah, he is. That's right. Creating these metrics. I'd like to get Larry on and talk to him. Yeah. I'd like to get Lynn Hanning on and talk to him too about.
We can do that.
We can do that.
Larry did say when we've had him on every year for the last 4 years, and he is absolutely the spin of the baseball was every. It's all about that. Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, they certainly make hitters look foolish.
Oh.
Yeah, they do.
I'm just saying.
The way the balls are moving now, I've never. It's not like fast pitch softball. You can make the ball go any direction you want.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I just, if I'm a hitter, honest to God, I'm just waiting on fastballs. I'm not swinging at anything.
Exactly. Looking fastball.
But the way it comes out of their hand and it looks like a fastball, and then. You know,
on a right-hand hitter, it's tailing in on you.
Yep.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, our favorite movie, Bull Durham, anybody can hit a fastball in the show. These guys have explosive sliders and all that, you know.
Yeah.
And that was 35 years ago. Yeah. So how that figures into this conversation, I'm not so sure, because it is about hitting and batting averages are at all-time lows across the league, other than the Yankees.
Yeah.
I don't know how the Yankees have done such a better job of they've always had an incredible farm system, though. It's one of the reasons why the Yankees are the Yankees.
Yes. They don't just they spend money for sure, but they develop players.
Yeah, they develop
like the Dodgers.
Yeah, like the Dodgers. Exactly. Yeah. That's no accident.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, that Tampa has been good at that. It'd be nice to see Austin Meadows get back to hitting the baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a few things here. But, Rich, you texted it, and I hate to agree with it, but I think there is a dark clown. Not clown. dark clown hovering over the team right now. And I don't know, you know, are we going to see the Carney hypnotist Keith come in? is like as
losing is a disease
like gonorrhea.
Oh, he said penicillin is not going to help this matter.
No,
right now.
You know, maybe penicillin in the bats.
Ugh. Right.
So, you know.
It changes tonight. It changes tonight.
Well, Scoobles pitching tonight.
That's
He's
right.
coming off a bad performance. That's why the Tigers are favored tonight.
Yep.
So, if they could maybe win the last three games of this, this is the longest homestand they have of the year.
And they're 1-6 so far.
Yeah. It's and, you know, the disappointing thing was is that Scoobal, when they were counting on him,
right.
had a dud.
Right.
And so did Fado. Yeah.
Right.
So, it's let's see where they go after this.
Yeah, Fado, that was the first time he had gotten shelled his entire big league career thus far.
Yeah.
So he, you know.
It doesn't get any better. They head to Boston for three. And then they got the Diamondbacks, which is when, and then they got the Giants.
Oh, man.
The schedule is not going to be very kind to them. And then they've got a whole bunch of games against the Central again. So, please, baseball gods, take it easy on us here on the these beleaguered Tiger fans.
I like the under tonight, JC. With Tarik Skubal going, he doesn't allow many runs. He's going to bounce back after
eight.
A tough fighting. It's 8. I got 7.5, but I still like the under. Versus John Gray, who's 1-3 with a 4.85 ERA. He gives up a few runs, but Detroit doesn't score many runs, so I really like the under in this game.
Tigers have only scored double digits runs twice this year.
Huh. And 32 games now where they've scored two runs or fewer out of 62?
Yeah, FanDuel has it right now at 8. I agree with you. That has been a very reliable bet. You and I went out on a limb yesterday and said that we thought that they would get over 8 last night after their players-only meeting.
Yep.
Ugh.
they got one run, and it was enough to win, and they still didn't win.
Well, it wasn't enough to win because they lost 3-1.
I know it's
so hard, though. Jack Morris brought it up a couple of times. When you have to be so perfect with your pitching, it's
that's
consistently.
It. Right.
I mean, that's
and
just,
you got kids
you
who weren't even
that.
Supposed to be here, bro. Like Brisky last night, not supposed to be here this year. Pitches
well, look,
the game
the Rangers,
of his life.
The Rangers aren't the Yankees. I mean, you know,
right.
there's every reason to believe that they could have won that game 1-0.
Right.
Soto had only blown one save.
And that kid that got the triple down the was just late on the swing and just hit it to the right field corner and it was lucky,
because and everybody on base was unearned runs
it is
unearned run when you walk them
two walks and a hit batsman load the bases and give up a double score all three and then strike out the last guy
Tiger baseball is the finest. You can listen to it here on Up North Sports Radio. It's actually much better to listen to the game than to actually watch it for reasons that we just outlined.
It is a joy. And listening to Dan Dickerson, he does such a great job.
He gives so much information.
And if it's been troublesome, then you can play the new and improved Jim Price drinking
and he knows it. And trust me, he's using the art of it. He knows exactly what's going on.
Dan Arsenal.
Yep.
Drink.
Yellowhammer.
And if you can make it to the seventh inning, God bless you.
Late movement, baby.
You got something there?
No, JC, I'm good. We get NHL tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. They play Colorado versus Tampa and Tiger Baseball.
All right. We now have 55 entries into the Ossabaw River Canoe Marathon. And Jordan Wakeby, Matt Meersman have some competition as Steve Lajoie, 11-time winner, and Guillaume Blais from Canada as well are partnering up. It's going to be a great race.
All right. There's a big improvement, 20-some-odd teams in a week.
That's a great kicker to that.
It
good
is.
Show.
All
good
right.
work.
Thank you, Rich. That's going to do it for us here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel. Don't forget, if you want the latest on the U.S. Open, I will be recording the show in a little bit with Dan, the great Dan Pohl, so you can hear that also here on Up North Sports Radio on Friday and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. So thanks for listening, and Keith and I will discuss sports for a few minutes over on Q100. during the JC in the afternoon show around 3:30.